The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that he has given to us, this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. A few things to highlight. Once again, our Sweetheart Brunch will be the 16th of February. That is next Sunday, right? 1 week away. Setup will be on Saturday. So men's ministry guys, everybody, we'll set up for that on Saturday. So that will be after church. We'll gather next door. Bake auction as well. So those of you who have signed up to bring a baked good to auction off for as a fundraiser, we do appreciate that. And there's still a sign-up sheet out there if you would like to do that as well. Also, if you are planning on coming, please sign up out there so that we can take a pretty accurate account of everyone who's headed over to join us for that day. And again, we'll have a brief Bible study on the idea of love and what that means for us as God's children. Also, the 25th of February, we're still finalizing things, but we've got it on the calendar. Fat Tuesday, also a get-together, an opportunity to do as they used to do in the old days and clean out the pantries and get everything, you know, chew it all up, eat it all to clear it out before the fast of Lent begins. So stay tuned for more details on that, Tuesday the 25th. And in our prayers, again, Janet Jameson, she's back at home. She had a couple of days in the hospital, again, recovering from her spinal fracture. And Eric going in for getting a valve job done on the 24th. So we pray for God's healing hand upon him as well. The services before you will follow that. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Salt and light are incredibly useful, even in these days of those bland, low, and no-sodium diets. Salt is still useful. It's essential for life. It preserves, it flavors, it cleanses. And light is also essential to life. We need it to see, to grow plants, for warmth, and for so many other things. But Jesus doesn't bring up salt and light to give you a culinary lesson or to educate you on the importance of proper exterior illumination. Both of them are useful. Both of them have a purpose. And that's the point of comparison. The same goes for Jesus' followers. The world needs you, baptized children of God. So Jesus uses salt and he uses light to teach his disciples, to teach you about your identity, about your purpose, about the pattern of your life in Jesus as his beloved, as his baptized, as his redeemed disciples. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Notice how Jesus says what he says here. It's not a command. It's not, you must become the salt and the light of the world. And it's not wishful thinking either. Well, I think that maybe you might one day be salt. You might be light sometime. No. It's a sure thing. It's Jesus' promise. You have his word on it. This is your identity in Christ. You are salt. You are light. As Jesus' beloved and baptized disciples, you are salt and light. Now, to be sure, there are days when you don't feel very salt-like. You don't feel like you're all full of light. You may feel quite salty, but that's not the same thing. Some days the darkness of your sin seems to overshadow every thought and word and deed. And some days you probably all felt like you were useless salt, fit for nothing but to be trampled on. All the more reason to find comfort in Jesus' declaration to his disciples and to you in these words. You are salt. You are light. It is, in fact, a promise that's determined not by how you think, not by how you feel, but by what Jesus says about you, who he says you are. It's his word over yours. Therefore, you are salt, you are light, and Jesus reminds you that salt and light each have a purpose in this world. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, it sounds kind of obvious to say it, but part of what Jesus is telling you is that salt can't help but be salty. That's what it is. That's what it does. By its very nature, it cannot lose its saltiness. Light can't help but shine. Turn on a lamp in a dark room, and it gives light. That's what it is. That's what it does. It's its very nature. And so it is for you, his followers. You can't help but be who you are in Jesus. Remember that Jesus said that the branches of the vine produce good fruit. So in Jesus, you are that vine branch. You are salt and light. But why? What's the purpose? What does it all mean? Well, Jesus tells you that too. Just as salt is useful for things and light shines in the darkness to light up a room or to light the path of a traveler on a dark road, so it is with your good works. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, before you get antsy talking about the doing of good works, notice who gets the glory here. Not you. It's the Father. The Father presupposes the Son. So your light is not you shining, but rather it is Christ who is your light. Let your light shine before others. Let your Jesus shine before others, so that in His light, in the light of His death and resurrection, in the light of His life, your neighbors may see your good works. And then in the light of that same Christ, give glory to your Father in heaven. Good works are the fruit of faith. They're the breath of faith. They're faith's exhalation in the direction of your neighbor. Works are faith's faithfulness. We love because He first loved us, St. John says. You love because you are loved in God's beloved Son. You forgive because you have been forgiven in Christ. You have mercy because Christ first had mercy upon you and laid down His life for you as a sacrifice for your sin. And so when you don't love, when faith doesn't breathe, when you fail to do the mercy that your neighbor needs, you put a basket over that light of Christ, hiding what Christ has done in and through you. Our Lutheran confessions say it this way: God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. Your neighbor needs you to be salt and light in this world. So what do those good works look like? Consider where God has placed you in this life. What vocations, what callings He has placed you into. Are you a father or a mother, son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, a worker, a student, an employer? Think of the ways that you can be salt and light for those around you at home, in your neighborhood, at work, here at church, at school, in your service clubs, your other activities. It goes on and on. And take comfort in God's promises, in Jesus' declaration of who you are. You are salt and light in Christ. You are blessed in Christ. No matter how many times you fail to be salt and you fail to be light, His promise still stands. You are His beloved and baptized disciples. No matter how many times your sin seems to overshadow you or death appears to swallow you up, Jesus is the light that no darkness can overcome. And He took up His cross. He was enveloped in the darkness, and death swallowed Him up so that He might defeat them all, and that in Him you would be who He says you are. In Christ, you are the salt of the earth. In Christ, you are the light of the world. In Christ, you have a new and everlasting identity. Jesus declares that you are His people, forgiven, restored, blessed, the baptized children of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.